message is from New Life Gillette Church Series, Bad Habits of Jesus. Pastor Mike presents part one of this series.
Today we're going to talk about fear. And so I've invited some friends up here with me. I know this one really well, but we feel a little bit lonely up here speaking to an empty room. And so I asked them to join me up here today. And today, guys, I wanted to start off by just being a little bit transparent. I wanted to tell you a couple stories. If we're talking about fear, I've got to talk about my own fear. And the reality is, I have a major fear, and it's like a subconscious fear. I don't even know why I have this fear, but it's of pain. Like, for some reason, when I either witness pain or I experience pain, I pass out. I don't know why, but my whole life, I have just fainted on a pretty regular basis. I mean, I could tell you dozens of stories of times that I've passed out, and Darcy's had to catch me multiple times. Yeah, more than dozens. So for example, one time we were at playing basketball and I twisted my ankle, and I was in the middle of the night, woke up to go get some ibuprofen. And so I go to the bathroom and Darcy just hears crash. And while I was getting ibuprofen, I had started imagining, what if my ankle's more than just twisted? What if it's broken? And I just pass out in the bathroom. The next day we take some people from our church out to lunch. And halfway through the lunch, I said, can I just pray for you guys? And I was praying for this couple from our church. And halfway through the prayer, I started thinking about my ankle. And I just passed out in my sandwich at Panera Bread. It's just kind of a regular thing. Usually it's my whole life growing up, my twin brother caught me. But now Darcy's been around usually to catch me pretty regularly. Oh, yeah. There's one time where we were driving to Oklahoma. This is when we lived in Kansas. And we're on the road, and Darcy has an iPad in her lap, and she's watching the TV show House, and they do surgeries and gross stuff in the TV show House. And I was just kind of out of the corner of my eye watching. I know you're not supposed to, but I was watching the show as we're driving, and they're doing a surgery, and I start passing out in the middle of the show. And so I slowly like pulled over to the side of the road, and I pass out like as I'm, she's like pushing my foot down to try to keep the brake down, and I'm driving and I've totally passed out on the road. Yeah. This happens regularly in our life. So this one time, I'll tell one last story. One time I was playing basketball with my twin brother. This was back when we were in high school. And I elbowed him in the ear, and it just completely split open his ear. Like, not just a cut, totally split open his ear. And I saw it and immediately smack the ground, pass out right in front of him. And so Steve's just bleeding everywhere. And he comes over and he has to wake me up, and he says, Mike, you've got to drive me to the emergency room right now. So I wake up and I run to the car and I sit down in the driver's seat, and he gets down in the passenger seat, and I look over at him and boom, immediately passed out as soon as we sit down in the car. And so I don't even remember all this, but he's kind of told me some of the story. But he runs around and he's got to help me out of the car so that now he can drive himself to the emergency room. By the time we get to the emergency room, I have passed out. He says 5 times. I say 4 times before we get to the emergency room. So it's just totally irrational. I have no idea why, but I've always been a little bit afraid of pain. And it's decreasing as I get older. Like, I watched both of my sons be born totally fine. The other day, our whole family went in together to get flu shots. And the whole time I was getting the flu shot, I had to be brave. And so something subconscious allowed me to get that flu shot, and nothing happened as a result of it. Part of it was my son is sitting there right by me and he's nervous, and I've got to show him this doesn't hurt. We all know that's a total lie. Shots hurt. I don't care. But so I have to be all brave and everything. And just over time, I've started to build up a callousness to pain. And I think part of that goes back to this phrase that you've heard your whole life, different times, usually from coaches. And the phrase goes like this: pain is weakness leaving the body. And I think there's a lot of truth to this. As we experience things in life, as we experience pain, then slowly we can handle a little bit more and more. But I don't know if this phrase is always true. As we experience pain, then we become less and less weak, I would say about myself. But the reality is God created pain. Pain was part of God's original design. Why is that? It's because pain can be helpful in our lives. When your team lost a basketball game, I don't know why I've talked about basketball a lot today. It's just coming to my mind. But when your team lost a basketball game, you felt pain as a result of that loss, and that pain motivated you to do better in the future, to practice more, to come up with a better strategy. You were working on something in the kitchen and you touched a knife and it cut your finger and you pulled away. Why? Because that pain told you you need to stop doing what you're doing or you're going to cut off a finger. Maybe you got mad and you punched a wall and you just realized, I'm an idiot. I don't want to be a lost cause. I better quit punching walls. Paul told me a story about a time that he punched his brother and he actually broke his own hand. So I don't know what that says about Paul and I don't know what that says about pain. But pain can be helpful because it keeps us from doing things that we shouldn't do. But pain can also be harmful. So there's different kinds of pain. Sometimes the thing that is causing your pain can harm you, like long-term. And that kind of pain is a result of Adam and Eve's sin. This is not a part of the original design. This kind of pain is not a good thing. But fearing that kind of pain can be a good thing. Fearing the kind of pain that can hurt us can be good because feeling pain can keep you away from pain. It makes you avoid situations in which you could feel pain. Get this. It was not until Americans started seeing Americans die. There were people around the world dying, but it wasn't until Americans saw Americans dying from COVID-19 that we really took steps toward avoiding it. Why? We started to feel the pain. It was close to home. When we saw our fellow Americans, our brothers and our sisters suffering as a result of this, we decided, you know what? I'm feeling some pain. It's time to take some steps to make sure I don't feel more of this pain down the road. This is why C.S. Lewis said, pain is God's megaphone. Pain has a way of getting our attention, focusing us in on something that needs our attention. Maybe you did the milk gallon challenge and puke made you stop. I tried that. You tried to drink a gallon of milk in 1 hour, physically impossible. I got about a quarter of the way through and puked everywhere. I decided I'm never doing that again. Maybe you went on a trip with your in-laws and you decided never again, not happening. That pain is going to make me avoid it in the future. So some pain is good, some pain is bad. And so this is what we should know. We shouldn't be fearless. We need some pain, but we should fear less. Fear can keep us from doing things that we shouldn't do, and it can keep us from doing things that we should do if we have too much fear, like this. Zeus! Ah! Zeus! Ah! Zeus!
Punch all the way through. When you feel the pain, go all the way through. That could be a barrier in life or anything. Punch hard. You gotta punch it hard enough. Punch through it. You feel pain?
Yes, sir.
Shake that off. Let's go. That's what this is about. Good. Let's get to that. Why are you crying? That's what this is about, son. It's okay to cry. We cry at the end. Why are you crying, though, son? Tell me, why are you crying? It's hard to test for a reason, but why are you crying? Go ahead, sir. Because what?
Because it is hard to put still with my
hand. Okay, good. But you did it, though. You punched him. You know, in life, there's going to be things harder for you to do than other things.
Yes, sir.
And you know, those things that may appear to be hard to do, you're going to have to do as a man, regardless. And it's going to take tears. It's going to take the blood of Yeshua, Jesus, and your sweat to break through it. You understand?
Yes, sir.
So I don't mind you crying. I cry a lot, too. You know what I'm saying? All right? So I want you just to, you're pulling your blow. I don't know if you're facing fear or you're feeling that you may not make it. And we all face that from time to time. And when we fade, as soon as we have resistance, we want to stop, right? Because it's hurting for that pain. We're like, I'm not going through this no more, right?
Exactly.
We have to walk as men. This is going to be very painful. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
Being a black man in this country, you're going to need mental fortitude. You're going to have to be strong here more so than here. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
You can do it. good to cry so you can work through that emotion. So when it arises again, you can push it to the side. Do it. You understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's see what you got. Breathe deep. Pause. Turn as hard as you can.
When we have too much fear of pain in our lives, it can actually keep us from doing things that we know we should do. But we can also push through that fear of pain when we know that God is with us. We can persevere when the fear of pain is so overwhelming that we just don't know what to do. And Jesus, in his life on this earth, talked a lot about fear. And his advice when he talked about it usually went something like this. Don't be afraid, to which we're thinking, Jesus, that's rude. Telling somebody not to be afraid doesn't make them not afraid. Jesus tries it anyway. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. That's the whole thing. Jesus, what else is there? That's everything. Okay, I'm fine. He just got my body. No, what is he saying? He's saying there must be more, right? If they only kill your body and that's the only thing, then there must be more. Jesus says they cannot touch your soul. Your body is temporary. Your soul is eternal. When I first started talking about how some pain is harmful pain, you probably assumed I was talking about pain that can kill your body. But I was actually talking about pain that can take away much more. I was talking about the pain that can kill more than just our body. And that's why Jesus says, fear only God. Jesus didn't say, don't fear anything. Fear is not a sin. Jesus says, we should pay attention to what we are fearing. Some fear is good fear. Why? Because Jesus, or God, can destroy both body and soul in hell. So God punishes us in hell? That's God doing that? That's what Jesus says. Unless Jesus does something about it. And Jesus did do something about it. Spoiler alert, that happened last week. Jesus rose from the dead so that he could save you from the bad kind of pain, the harmful kind of pain. Jesus said, what is the price of two sparrows? To which we all say, duh. No, we don't know. But they knew the price of two sparrows is one copper coin, right? Yes, duh. Okay, so they know this. I'll translate that for you. In their context, that means a sparrow is very cheap. But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. In other words, pain will happen, but God will be there. God will know. Even pain will happen to a sparrow, and pain will happen to you. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. This is how much he's with you. He's not just with you in like a 6-foot distance COVID-19 way. He is all the way with you. He knows how many hairs are on your head. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. God's love for you has no limits. So what he's saying is bad things will happen to good people. But for those who know him, they can have peace that passes understanding. Because God is with us. And he won't just guard our bodies. He'll guard more than that. He will guard our souls. So there was one day when Jesus and his disciples needed a break from the crowds because they're just constantly bombarded by a giant church of people who wanted to hear Jesus preach. Jesus was human, and so these crowds had made him tired. And so what do? They're tired from the crowds. So they took Jesus in the boat. But soon a storm came up. High waves were breaking into the boat and it began to fill with water. Jesus was sleeping at the back of the boat with his head on a cushion. I love that it includes the detail that Jesus had a cushion. In other words, the story is telling you, Jesus wasn't just taking a 5-minute Paul Boffman catnap. Jesus was asleep. Like, this is nighty night, I'm out. And maybe you're thinking the same thing about God in your life right now. Maybe you're thinking, God, there's a storm. Wake up. Where are you? What are you doing? Why aren't you helping? Don't you see what's going on? This is the place the disciples are in. And the disciples woke him up shouting, "Teacher, don't you care? Don't you care that we are going to drown?" For you, it may be, "Jesus, don't you care if I lose my job? Don't you care if I'm sick? Don't you care if I can never have children? Don't you care if my marriage fails? Don't you care? Where are you? Are you just sleeping through all this? Aren't you supposed to be powerful and loving? Where are you?" When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and said to the waves, "Silence! Be still. Be calm. Rest." And suddenly the wind stopped and there was a great calm. Then he asked them, "Why are you afraid? Do you still have no faith?" He's speaking to the disciples. And the disciples then were absolutely terrified. When they saw the waves, they were scared. But when they saw what Jesus could do, they were absolutely terrified. We have two very different words here in the Greek. One is a much lesser version of fear, maybe even a healthy fear of a storm. But when they saw the power of Jesus, they were absolutely terrified. And they asked this question, "Who is this man?" They ask each other. Now, they've seen Jesus do miracles. They've seen Jesus interact with people. They've been amazed by him before, but seeing him actually command nature terrified them. And their attention shifted from the waves to Jesus. Their attention shifted from a what to a who. To the greatest who of all times, the one who can command to the waves, "Be still," and they must obey. Even the winds and waves obey him. What kind of man is this? We heard last week that this man came to earth and he died for us. We heard last week that this man came, he died, and he rose again. There's power in this man. And this powerful man is not just a man. This is a superman. Different superman, Zach. This is a man who is operating in an entirely different dimension. He was playing by different rules. Yes, he was a man, but he was more than a man. This was God. There's somebody in my life right now who is being called, is being challenged to become a superman. He was recently diagnosed with an illness that has no cure. And there is a lot of fear that comes with that. In a way, there's a lot of unknowns, but in another way, there's a lot of knowns. He knows some things about his future now that he's not too excited about. Last week, he called me and he told me about his diagnosis. And in that moment, I'm supposed to be the pastor who's got the right words and can help him through it. And he called and he told me, and it just took every ounce of strength that I had just to hold it together. And I had nothing for him. To be honest with you, I called Paul right after this and I said, "I just totally failed." And so if I can have a second chance, he's watching right now. And so I would just like to say to you what I wish I would have said when you called me. And this applies to all of us. All of us have experienced storms, maybe not as severe as the storm that he's experiencing now, but all of us have experienced pain and fear and unknown. And all of us in these times, I would just like to say this to you. When storms come, number one, live well. Don't live the life that social media or some actor or musicians tells you that's cool to live. Don't do what's popular. Decide what is worth your time. And then whatever that is, and I have a pretty strong opinion that that thing is the calling that Jesus put on your life, that God created you to fulfill, to become who you were created to be. And then when you've figured out who you were created to be, do that thing as much as possible and do everything else as little as possible. Create an epic to-do list and make that list way more about people than it is about things. And give yourself to doing what God put you on this earth to do. Second thing I would say is fear not. Telling somebody not to fear doesn't do that much. But telling somebody that God is with you can. Fear not. The one who can calm a storm is on your side. He's with you. He loves you. He knows every hair on your head. Because what is fear? Fear is all about the unknown. Well, God holds all of history and all of future in his hands. There's not really any unknown, is there? Fear is worried about what will happen in the future. Well, we all know what's going to happen. We are all going to die. But there are a few of us who kind of have an idea of when that's going to happen. The question then becomes, how much am I going to allow fear to control me between now and then? The third thing I would say is trust God. Because there's pain that comes from the fear of the future event that is going to come, but there is also fear about what kind of pain I'm going to experience in the journey on the way there. And when we know that God is walking that journey with us, actually, even more than that, Jesus came to earth and experienced the pain that we are experiencing now, then we can begin to put our trust in God that we couldn't otherwise. We can begin to trust God to carry us through the pain. Because the people who change the world are the people who in the midst of their pain, who in the struggle, when it seems like there's no way out, when it seems like they should just become angry and bitter, it's when those people in their pain allow their faith in someone, hopefully our Creator, allow your faith in someone to exceed your fear of something. Don't fear those who can only kill your body. That's temporary. You are not a temporary person. You are an eternal person. Because Jesus never promised that bad things won't happen. But he promised that he would be with you when bad things do happen. He never said, if you just rack your brain and believe hard enough and trust God and remove sin from your life, then boom, he's going to miraculously take all the pain from your life. That's a lie. That is not the kind of faith that we have in God. But he did say, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper in time of need, in time of pain, in time of fear. So I will have no fear. It's not wrong to fear pain. It's not wrong to fear death, but it is in our pain and when we are faced with death that we are called to have faith most. In the midst of that struggle, we don't have faith that God will keep us from pain. We have faith that God will help us through pain. So to my friend, let me just tell you that you now know that there is a calling on your life that you didn't know before your diagnosis. you now know that you have a calling to become a Superman, and your wife has a calling to become a Superwoman that you didn't know you were going to have to come or become before. But how you react and the strength that you portray in the meantime is going to make all the difference. And when your kids look back on how strong you were and how much faith you had in this time, it is going to make all the difference in their lives. And they are going to know that God is real, not just because I read it in a book, but God is real because he was with my dad when he experienced pain. And because I saw God in the faith that my dad had in his greatest time of need. God, today I pray that you would be with those in our congregation, in our community, and around the world who are experiencing pain right now that seems overwhelming. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit right now will make them so overwhelmingly comforted by your love and by your power in such a way that we just can't explain. Why do I have peace in this moment? It is because I have faith in God that he has an eternal future for me. That our lives are not finite, our lives are infinite. Our lives are not temporary, they are eternal. And so we place them in your hands. We thank you for the calling that you've put upon each and every one of us. Help us to have the strength to become who you created us to be. We love you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.